Welcome to the Health Unfiltered podcast. I'm Dr. Rogelio Realzola, a PhD in health, exercise, and sports science, a strength coach with over a decade of experience in personal, collegiate, and professional settings, and a sports scientist whose main goal is to use testing and data to maximize your health and performance.
And I'm Brooke West, holistic registered dietitian, practicing the perfect combination of a functional nutrition, science-based root cause approach, and hippie magic, with areas of expertise in women's health and hormones, gut health, and micronutrient balance.
We believe that health is multifaceted, but not as complicated as others make it seem. Our mission is to share what works and what's BS in the health industry, all while having a good time doing it.
Expect us to share everything from new research to tried and true health philosophies to alternative health therapies and the occasional controversial topic. Let's get started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Health Unfiltered podcast. My name is Ro, and I am here with another snack time episode. I am live from Sarasota, still living out the sweet life of Zach and Cody fantasy. Still in a hotel here. I've got a couple more weeks, the end of March, to go. Days are getting long, but still out here, still grinding, doing work, doing self-work, getting my lifts in, putting out content here, and fighting for my life. But things have been good. I hope that you all have been well, and I hope that you survive the upcoming, or I guess by the time this comes out, it will have already happened, daylight savings. I know for me, that's always kind of a weird time. You know, I always get such little sleep in general for spring training, and then that happens and just get hit like a freaking bus. But best of luck with that. Nothing a little screamo and caffeine can't help to get you through the day. What I wanted to talk about today on the snack time is really like sprinting and jumping. And there's like, you could talk a lot about these two things, especially on a podcast where you're supposed to ramble. But I want to talk about how, one, why I think it's important, two, how I've kind of come to that. Not, you know, saying I didn't know it was already important, but stuff going on with my own training, my own life. Three, kind of give some insight into why it is a bit more important, which I think was number one. And then four, just kind of give some some little insight of, you know, how we can go about doing it, implementing it into our lives, and just finding a new way to challenge ourselves, as well as, you know, ultimately do what our bodies were designed to do, which is run fast, create power, be springy, and allow for us to do other things because we have that ability. So, just a quick little preface of what we're going to talk about. So I want to excuse me for coughing so much. I think, you know, being in the hotel room, sometimes it gets really stuffy, and I feel like I'm kind of maybe getting something in my nose as well. There's no windows. I have a window, obviously. It just doesn't open up. So I was thinking about sprinting and jumping because I've been really doing my best to sprint and become more springy, especially during spring training. And some of it is because, you know, I'm around athletes that run and jump more. And I'm like, oh, I want to do it. It looks fun. It's good for me. I know it is. But the other part of it is just that I know it's something different. It's something fun. It's something that I can kind of plug and play into my lifting so that I can still lift and get my sprint training in. You know, and it's like, it's just a new little challenge. It's really fun to take 400 plus pounds on a ride, whether in my hands or on my back. But it's also, I've recently found it to be like very enjoying, if that's a word, to just run for a short amount of time as quickly as I can and kind of feel like I'm Sonic the Hedgehog when I'm sure I'm moving pretty slow, inefficiently, and not great. No one is writing a textbook on, sprint form and using me as a reference, unless it's, hey, we don't want you looking like this guy. But, it's just something else. I know that if you want to be strong, you have to lift heavy, right? We're talking about strong as far as lifting a maximum weight goes. And if you want to be fast, you have to run fast. There is no other way around it. And I think that's kind of why I like it. It's like, duh, you have to do these things to get better at them. So that's the first first couple reasons, I guess, is because I have been doing it more. And second, I heard someone say that somebody else said, right? That's how it normally goes, that studies have shown that 95% of people over 30 years old will never sprint again. And I kind of want to just sit with that for a bit, because to me, it's kind of sad, right? We kind of get complacent and life asks us to do other things and we kind of forget that we can do these other things. And I don't recall seeing my aunts, uncles, parents run as fast as they can. Same with my, grandparents. And I actually have a very vivid memory of my mommy Juani, that's my mom's mom, my grandma. I don't remember what birthday it was, but we had a pinata for her and she jumped. She actually jumped and hit the stick. I hit the pinata with the stick. And I think I've talked about that on the podcast before, but it was the first time I'd ever seen her jump in my entire life. And she was, she was older, definitely 60, 70 years old. And I thought to myself, like, wow, when's the last time she's done that? And I kind of remember thinking to myself, like, when's the last time anyone's done that, right? Like, how often do we see our older family members kind of jump? But yeah, it's this 95% of people over 30 years never sprinting again. I think it's kind of hard to put a number on, right? 95% seems like a lot. But as you kind of start to think about other things, most people over 30 don't have a healthy lifestyle. Most people in general, right? Even less than those lift and exercise and run. And so I do believe that a very small amount of people do top high-end sprinting where they are trying their hardest to run as fast as they can. And it's just something that I've been thinking about a lot. And I was like, oh, I have to keep doing this to make sure that, I'm worth my salt when it comes to a lot of different things. But I know that, like, it can be very judgmental, right? Because some people say, well, I'm not very fast. Like, why should I do that? Or it's been a long time. And I want to kind of preface this by saying that barring any sort of traumatic injury, it is never too late to start jumping and sprinting. Now, are you going to have the same, we'll say, ceiling that you would have if you started when you were 10 and kept doing that for 10, 20, 30 years? No, especially if you're 45 and listening to this and be like, oh, it has been 15 years. I have to get on that. But sprinting is really just being able to run as fast as you can. Nobody has to say that, you have to run a 40-yard dash under 5 or under 4:40, or you have to run 10 yards in X amount of time in order for you to consider it a sprint. It's considered a sprint when you put in high effort, 100% effort, over a short period of time. And whether that is, 12 miles an hour to you, or 18 miles an hour to someone else, as long as it's you putting in that effort, then that's sprinting. So you're never going to be Usain Bolt, but you can be your super mega speed version of yourself. And I think back to a conversation I had with one of the many physical therapists I've had in my life. And I remember asking her, I was like, you know, how can I start back running and jumping? I hadn't really ran and jumped for like five, six years after my back surgery. And she kind of looked at me, and we'd known each other or had like learned about each other after, you know, 10, 12, 15, however long sessions. And she was like, you know, that's kind of a silly question to be asking given your background. And I was like, yeah, I guess I just haven't thought about it. You know, how do I get back into it? And she was like, you just have to do it. And a light clicked and I was like, oh, duh. It's the same way we tell people like, oh, how do I get back to exercising? You just have to do it, right? Not saying you have to do it all the time, 100% or whatever, but the first step is literally that first step when it comes to something like sprinting. And the reason you just have to do it is because a sprint is you being able to absorb high impactful forces as well as create them, because you are, I mean, you're pumping into the ground, you're shooting up, and then you are coming down. And so as you do this, it makes you more robust, but it also can hurt you, right? If you go from zero to quite literally 100, and that's why, you know, it's important to periodize things as you start getting back to them, or as you start thinking about where you might throw them in. And this ultimately, like, is a kind of, when you zoom out, is a snack time episode on aging, right? Because speed and power are arguably the two qualities that decrease the most with age. And this is due to, we've talked about it on a separate episode, one of our ones from, we'll say, the old season, sarcopenia, or how to stay young. I forget what we titled it, but sarcopenia is, you know, a decrease in muscle size and a decrease in motor unit firing capabilities. And it's age related. So you're kind of going to inherently lose the ability to do things as you get older. It sucks, but we know that it's a part of life. But we also know that the best way to beat it or slow it down is to use it, right? So if you don't run fast or have not run in a long time and try to run, you are obviously not going to run that fast. If you haven't lifted in a long, long, long time, you try to lift, it's going to be very difficult, right? But we can slow down aging. We can slow down sarcopenia. And the degree to which we can slow it down very much has to do with how fast and how strong you are right now. Because if you have a lot of muscle mass or are producing a lot of force quickly and you are very strong, then you have a higher ceiling. You can kind of experience a larger drop-off without it becoming noticeable, right? And we say drop-off in that, like, we're talking from our quote-unquote genetic peak. So if all things went well and I could have squatted 900 pounds or sprinted, you know, a 440, 40-yard dash, like, that doesn't mean I can't get up to those numbers. Like now, like obviously I can't, but that ceiling just drops. So I can still get close to it. I just won't be able to get to it because I am 31, which is disgusting to say. And I have not sprinted regularly, I think, ever. So this is all very new to me. It's very fun. But, you know, just something to think about, that you are going to not reach that genetic potential if you are starting when you are older, but you can absolutely, absolutely, absolutely get faster, get stronger. You just have to train that way. You have to utilize those abilities in order to keep them. There is no other way around it. So we also know that when it comes to aging, we're going to lose up to 1 to 5% of power production, like in general, right? We kind of have this umbrella term of what power is, but especially after the age of 50. But it directly correlates, like I said, to how often you are using it. So now you're thinking to yourself, okay, like I want to be able to run. I want to be able to have this robust body. Like we make ourselves strong, our joints strong, our ligaments strong by having these weights, by doing resistance training. But like we can do more by running. And now you've convinced me, right? So the next question is, well, how do I start? How do I get to sprinting so that I can become my own Usain Bolt, become my own Sonic the Hedgehog? And this kind of goes back to the conversation I had with my PT, Alex. You just gotta start, right? And so what I like to do, if you've been a client of mine for a long time, or if you just start, like you will almost certainly always see some sort of jump or sprint at the beginning of, I don't want to say every training session, but especially the lower body or full body days. And it's because if that's the first thing you do after warm up, right, you are going to have the most amount of energy, the most amount of force production available because you won't be tired. You'll be fresh. And that means you get to lay it all on the line. You get to jump as high as you can. You get to pogo as far as you can. You get to sprint as far as you can, or I don't say as far, as fast as you can. And doing that first allows you to kind of build up to do other things. So if you have a lower body day, that's a great time to do some jumps, do some pogos, do some sprints. Same thing with a full body. Or if you're like, hey, I like my sprints or like my leg days to be solely focused on lifting weights, then you can put your sprints either at their own day, like a sprint and core, or just have a nice little tease before your arm day, right? Plenty of places to place it. But it's important to understand that like it's going to take some volume, right? It will chip away at how much you can and probably should do on other days, but it's important. Like we have to make space for that. So for jumps, right, because we also want to incorporate jumps and sprints, they're kind of the same thing. It's very simple to do a 3x3. Give me 3 reps of the best jumps you have, just as high as you can go. Take 2 minutes, do it again. With pogos or little hops, something like 3x10 to 15, just little hops on your toes to keep you nice and springy. That I think kind of starts to lend its way to be like, okay, we're plyometric, we are rubber bands, we can take this force, we can handle it, we can also express it. And then as you start to feel comfortable with that, then we can build into like, okay, my ankles, my knees, my hips can handle this. Let's start sprinting. And that's when you kind of get to have fun, right? You can have your sprint days where you just do a kind of a little core session, maybe some jumps, and then the main thing is sprints. Or you can be like, you know, like I said, adding it to your own kind of session or the lower body sessions. But I think another thing we have to remember is there are a lot of times where you're like, I can skip this warm up with sprints because it is, I mean, with a true sprint, we're trying to go 100% of whatever we can do. Do not do this cold. You are absorbing and creating the highest forces that you can put on yourself. Please take your time to warm up, to figure out where you're maybe a little stiff, where you need some more flexibility, some more priming, and then do that before you abuse your body on purpose. Another thing to remember is rest times, right? If you're not taking anywhere from 2 to 4 minutes to recover, then I don't think you're sprinting. You're doing conditioning work because true sprinting requires true rest because it requires true energy, full out output. And so if you are just kind of like, yeah, I'll give myself 30 seconds, then think about how hard you can actually push. Right? Like this is the time where we are dictated by intensity and not volume. And so you need to give yourself enough time to fully recuperate in order to try and hit that 100% again and again and again. The third little reminder is to start slow and start short. When we think about sprinting, we're talking like 10, maybe 20 yards, right? You are not an Olympic sprinter. We're not thinking about 100 meters, right? I mean, when are you going to be sprinting 100 meters if we're talking about just starting sprinting? So getting something like 10, 20 yards and then giving yourself 2 to 3 minutes of rest is going to be super impactful, because you are talking about really hard work, like 5 to 7 seconds. And then giving yourself that 2 to 3 minutes to recuperate that, you know, creatine phosphate system. That is something we always have to keep in the back of our minds. Enough rest in order to complete the task at hand as intensely and with as much intent as possible. And the final thing is just to have fun, man. Like I said, it's been cool. It's been fun just running, sprinting, seeing, you know, I work in a baseball field, so it's like I see flat grass. I don't have to think about hills or anything, and I can just kind of let it fly. And it's cool. It's really fun to just let it loose. And even when I'm having like a terrible time, I'm like, oh, this is so painful. Like, why am I doing this? I do try to keep a smile on my face, because I'm like, you know, at some point I won't be able to do this anymore. So I just want to be able to hammer it away while I can. And there's a lot of ways that you can have fun with it. You can do flies, where maybe do like a 5-10 yard buildup and then let the last 10-15 yards kind of fly, obviously, just kind of build up to it. You can do a ladder where you like sprint 10 yards, you walk back, 20 yards, you walk back, and then maybe 30 yards and you walk back. That's definitely more conditioning, because again, you're not getting any rest, but you can do like the 10, do the 2 to 3 minutes, 20, and then, you know, make sure you get appropriate rest. And then like a falling start, where like you're just at the line, you kneel over as far as you can. Or I say kneel, bend over, well, fall over as far as you can. And as soon as your front foot hits trying to catch you, you just go to sprinting. There are no rules when it comes to how to start it, especially if you are just starting it. So that's the last thing, is just to have fun. I'm going to remember that you are doing it in order to make yourself a more robust person, make yourself able to run away from a bear or any sort of emergency situation. And honestly, just paying tribute to the long, long genetic history that allows you to run and jump and sprint as hard as you can. So before I get too philosophical, the sun's going down. And so I'm like, yes, it's time. It's time to contemplate life. I will hop off here. I just wanted to have a nice little snack time about some thoughts about sprinting, jumping, why it's important, how as we age, it becomes harder, how we can stop aging by doing this, and then how we can slowly incorporate. So if you have any questions, feel free to hit me up on Instagram or email, or shoot me a text if you have my number. If you don't, you know, it is what it is. And we will talk to you soon. So, you know, future row, play that music. Peace out, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Health Unfiltered podcast. Make sure to follow us on your favorite podcast platform, rate the podcast, and share this episode.
Connect with me, Dr. Alzola, on Instagram @ROIHealth. For more details on all things sports and human performance coaching, visit getroihealth.com.
You can find me, Brooke West, on Instagram @westnutrition.co. For all the ways we can work together on nutrition and holistic health, visit westnutrition.co.
And don't forget to send us your epic questions of the week on Instagram @healthunfilteredpod. Catch you next time.